The Tom Woods Show, episode 931.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, we are inching toward the 1,000th episode of The Tom Woods Show, and I'd like you to join me for it at a special event in Orlando, September 9th. Featuring Michael Malice and Tom DiLorenzo as special guests, and the great Eric July as MC. It's absolutely free, but you gotta register. Check it out at tomwoods.com/Orlando. Hello everybody, Tom Woods here. I'm sharing with you today an uncharacteristically short lesson from my, or at least it's drawn from, one of the lessons from one of my Ron Paul curriculum courses. This is from the government course that I created for that program. Of course, you can join that program at ronpaulhomeschool.com. If you use my link, you get $160 worth of free bonuses you don't get otherwise. So you should, of course, use my link. But how to get just this one course, all that information will be up at tomwoods.com/931. But the topic today, even though the coverage is brief, it's still one of these things that makes light bulbs turn on in your mind, because we all know that we're supposed to believe that taxes are contributions and contracts can be entered into without realizing it. In other words, the social contract. There are all kinds of perfectly good and noble ideas that the state perverts through its abnormal use of language. Well, the point of what is about to come here is that the idea of representation is yet another concept that the state has completely corrupted. It turns out that it's totally meaningless conceptually to say that so-and-so represents me in government. And I'm going to show you why in what follows. So it's worse than you thought. More things have been corrupted than you thought. This one's going to be so obvious when you hear it, you'll think, yeah, why didn't I put that together in my mind before? So here we go. Hi, everybody. It's Tom Woods. And today we're going to talk about political representation. What does it really mean? I think we use this idea, we refer to this idea, without really thinking about it very clearly. I think we, and I include myself in this, I think we just casually assume that the concept makes sense. But I think we're going to find it's a trickier concept than we may have believed up to now. Now, political representation. Let's define it. What is political representation? Well, first of all, when we talk about political representation, we use the language this way. We say, in the United States, or insert some other country, we vote for a person who's going to represent us in government. That's what we say. I'm casting my vote for my representative in government. I'm casting my vote for my member of the House of Representatives. I'm casting my vote for one of my two U.S. senators. And those people will go to Washington and they will represent me. They will represent my interests. They will make sure that the things that matter to me get a hearing in Washington and are pursued. Well, that's how we speak. Well, now let's take it apart more precisely. Are political representatives the agents of the people they represent, and thus are required to carry out the people's will? If you are my agent, you carry out my will. That's what an agent does. And on the next slide, we'll talk about representation in non-political situations. We'll talk about what an agent typically does. So is my politician, is my political representative, is he my agent, and he's bound to do what I want him to do? Is he rather a trustee who can act according to the best interests of the people they represent as they see those interests? So is my representative a trustee who will carry out my best interests even if I myself don't see them? Even if I myself think my interests are A and he thinks my interests are B, does he have the right to go ahead and pursue interest B? When I think my interests are A and I'm just mistaken, can he, in effect, correct me and go ahead and pursue my interests as he sees them? Or are political representatives essentially free to do anything they want? What is the correct answer here?
Well, let's complicate matters by having me give you some examples, some scenarios involving representation. And as I'm doing so, I want you to think about whether this resembles what a political representative is really doing. These examples come from Professor Gerard Casey, who's a professor in the Department of Philosophy at University College Dublin over in Ireland. So here's the first example. I am unable to go to a meeting of the committee of my local residents association. It is an important meeting where decisions of some importance are going to be made. So I ask my wife to go along in attendance, subject to the consent of the meeting. I inform her of my views of the important matter under discussion, and when it comes up, she puts these views forward as being mine. In these circumstances, she represents me. Now consider the second example. An issue is coming up for decision in the higher echelons of the university. A discussion takes place at a meeting of the Department of Philosophy, and a general consensus emerges. The chair of the department is mandated to make the department's collective view known to the powers that be. In these circumstances, the department chair represents the department. Here's another example. I want to buy something at an auction, but I do not want to appear there myself for fear of raising the price. I hire a destitute and needy graduate student to purchase a painting for me. I give him explicit instructions on the price. He does exactly what I have commissioned him to do. He represents me for this specific transaction. Another example. I grant power of attorney to my lawyers with general but not completely elastic instructions. As long as they remain within the remit of those instructions, they represent me. This one. Johnson is my local member of parliament. I did not vote for him. I do not agree with any of his views. Does he represent me? This one. Robinson is my local member of parliament. I did vote for him. Not because I actively desired his election, but because I wanted to prevent the election of an even more disagreeable candidate. As it happens, I agree with some, but not all of his views. Does he represent me at all times, or only when his actions conform to my views? All right, now let's examine representation in non-political situations. In other words, where there's no civil government involved. Now, in this diagram, you can pay no attention to asymmetric information. You can ignore that. But in non-political situations, when we talk about representation, we say, I have a representative. We're often thinking in terms of a principal-agent relationship. An agent is somebody who is responsible to the principal and must pursue the principal's interests. So let's think in terms of maybe a musician having an agent, or maybe an author having an agent, because I've had that situation. I have a literary agent. The agent is supposed to pursue my interests. He's supposed to do what is best for me. And if I tell him not to do a certain thing, he can't do it. If I say, do not accept that contract with Random House, although happily I've never had to say that. I've always accepted a contract from Random House, but if I were to say that to him, then he would be obligated not to accept that contract. And if I say, I'd like you to pursue this contract, even though he may think it's not as favorable as the other one, he is obligated to do it. He has to pursue my interests, and indeed he has to pursue even specific actions that I ask him to carry out. Now, in the case of political representation, the idea would be that you are the principal, and the politician, the member of Congress is the agent. So in the previous case, obviously I was the principal and the agent is the agent. But in politics, the idea would be that the voter is the principal and the representative is the agent. But in that case, as we see in politics, clearly the agent is not responsible to the principal, because clearly the political figure is always doing things without ever consulting you, right? Or and you have no way of saying, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. I forbid you to do that. I order you to do something else. How could you do that to your U.S. congressman? You'd have no way of doing that. Not only that, the principal in this case is not just one person. It's not like you're the only voter and you voted for this congressman. There are many voters, so therefore there are many principals. And the vast bulk of these voters, the agent doesn't even know most of these principals. So how can he possibly represent them in the sense that we think of representation in normal speech, normal non-governmental speech? When we're talking about representation in any other situation, as a normal person thinking about representation, how could he do it? How could you represent 500,000 people you've never met? How could you do it? And none of them have the power to tell you to do or not do anything. Well, then what does that mean? That you are a representative of those people. And then, of course, we have the problem that's posed by multiple principals, which is not simply that the representative doesn't know them, the agent doesn't know all the principals. Maybe, let's imagine that it was somehow possible for a political representative, the agent, as we're calling him, to know all the voters, the principals. Suppose that were possible. He had just an incredible brain, and he knew 500,000 people. What is the likelihood that those 500,000 people all have the same interests? They all want the same thing pursued? An impossibility, right? I mean, there's no way, 500,000 people have exactly the same opinions, exactly the same interests, exactly the same causes they believe in that they want pursued. Not possible. So, how can he represent all of them? It's an impossibility, is it not? And if you disagree with me, by the way, I'd love to hear about it in the writing assignment. You should do that. You should think about how we really do see representation here. How can an agent represent a whole bunch of people he doesn't know, and then if he does know them, who have completely different views on everything, he can represent some of them. When he casts a particular vote, he represents some of them. But does he represent the others who are absolutely dead set against what he's doing? In what sense is he representing them? There is no interest that's common to the entire constituency of a representative. There is no interest that they all share. That is to say, a lot of them think there should be a free labor market with the government not involved. Others think there should be special legal privileges, monopolistic legal privileges granted to labor unions. Well, those are two totally irreconcilable views. How can the agent represent people who hold completely different views on that question all at once? How can somebody who disagrees with you on absolutely every issue be said to be representing you? And ask, is there any other aspect of life in which you would accept that form of representation? Would you ever say, I'm going to appoint an agent to represent me, and after I've observed this agent for a year, and this agent has not done a single thing that I've wanted, this agent every single time without fail is doing the exact opposite of what I want, I think I'll keep that agent on. I like that agent. Who would act that way? No one. And so now we get to the terrifying conclusion from Professor Gerard Casey. And he's going to tell you that the idea of political representation is not meaningful. Once again, it is the use of a word or a concept from private life in a way that we would never use it in private life. In the same way that people say that, well, the government is like a social contract. It's like a contract that you've signed. But in private life, we don't go along with contracts that we didn't actually sign. And the government's social contract is a contract that none of us ever signed. Well, likewise, we would never accept this idea of representation in any other aspect of our lives. So when you penetrate to it closely, you find there's nothing there. He says, representation is a fig leaf that is insufficient to cover the naked and brutal fact that even in our sophisticated modern states, however elegant the rhetoric And however persuasive the propaganda, some rule and others are ruled. That is a brutal fact. That in spite of all the sweet little wonderful stuff we see on Schoolhouse Rock on the weekends, or that we would learn about in a traditional junior high school textbook about wonderful people just pursuing our interests, it is in fact some people are making the decisions and some people just have to sit there and take it. That, and not representation, is what's really going on.
All right, so as promised, that was a brief episode. I've been giving you some really long ones lately, and now you got a sort of a short one today. But I've got a friend who has started a website, and again, he used the hosting, so I give him the free shout-out, and it's really, really useful. If you are thinking of starting a podcast, which some of you are, you're going to want to check out the resources at his site, which is downloadstodollars.com, but the two is the number two. So it's downloads, the number two, dollars.com. And the point of it is to teach beginning or novice podcasters the ins and outs of monetizing a podcast. But it also provides services like editing, intros and outros, consulting, transcriptions, search engine optimized show notes, pretty much anything that has to do with making money making podcasts. And for those services, they're offering a special discount for listeners of the Tom Woods Show for the next 7 days. So this is being released, this episode is being released on June 14th, 2017. So check it out in particular for that offer. Check it out at downloads2dollars.com/woods for that special deal. So remember, you get a nice shout out and many other wonderful goodies for your website if you use my link when you get your hosting, just as my friend James here did, and that's why James is getting this shout out that you're hearing right now. So check that out at tomwoods.com/publicity. Check out James at downloads, then the number two, then dollars.com. I will link to that as the listener website mentioned at tomwoods.com/931. If you are enjoying the show, consider joining us as an elite member. That's right, as a supporting listener of the show over at supportinglisteners.com, at my special 1,000th episode event in Orlando, you guys get a special dinner at no extra cost as my way of saying thank you. So check that out, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.